Hello, dear friends. We are sincerely happy to greet you again. And today we're going to talk to the esteemed Igor Mikhailovich Danilov.
Hello.
Igor Mikhailovich, in the consumerist format of society, there are severe stressful situations in many people's lives that affect the human psyche, such as wars, natural disasters, accidents, domestic violence, and lots of crimes that exist in society. Of course, these events affect people's lives as well. Some people cope with them seemingly easily, while others get stuck in their experiences if they face such events firsthand. And no matter how much a person wishes not to recall such events and stories, they burst into his peaceful life through nightmares, intrusive thoughts, and sudden flashing memories. The trigger may be anything — words, emotions, or sounds a person hears. This certainly makes people's lives unbearable, and a lot of people around the world today are looking for antidotes to such states, to these intrusive memories, as those very psychiatrists and psychologists call it in science. And of course, among those who search for an antidote, there are not only people themselves who have experienced a tragedy and their relatives who want to help them, but also specialists, namely psychologists and psychiatrists. Among our viewers, there are many practicing psychologists and psychiatrists who work in prisons, and they participate in psychological support groups and help people cope with these intrusive states and memories. So they asked you to help them understand the following issue. The point is that nowadays specialists mostly use visualization methods such as container, when people lock memories in a reliable container, or the method of TV set, when they watch, scroll through these memories, stop them, and make them black and white. And specialists have a firm belief that these memories must not be ignored, that they must be replayed and somehow worked through, because simply avoiding and not paying attention to them is impractical, that it would be energy-consuming in the long run. A question arises, what is the correct thing to do after all? What would be the appropriate methods for coping with such negative states and negative memories that would also be the most effective in the work of specialists? Do visualization practices, visualization methods such as container or TV set actually work? I mean, should those intrusive memories necessarily be retrieved, worked through, and scrolled through? Is such a technique good?
Well, I'll put it this way. Yes, in fact, it's a wonderful technique. It helps very well, but not the patients. Patients get temporary relief, but as time goes by, these states return. And unfortunately, sometimes they become much stronger. It doesn't mean that if a person has experienced some negative phenomenon that begins to dominate him, depresses him, and causes various undesirable states, so to say, from the mental perspective, it doesn't mean that precisely this phenomenon will manifest itself again. When we, let's say, use such methods, we postpone this problem until later, I would say. For example, let's analyze. You have just mentioned the container method, right? After all, it's a simple method that, let's say, gives a good, visible, and fast result. But in fact, it's a disservice to the patient. Why? Let's analyze. It's all interesting. As a matter of fact, a lot of people who really suffer from these psychological disorders, let's say, face the fact that they are constantly overwhelmed by negative thoughts. So, to make a long story short, the container method consists in the following. If some negative situation arose in your past, and today, it dominates you, friends, and you don't know what to do about it, then you imagine, give yourself a command that you lock this problem, this picture, that moment in time, in a strong and reliable container. And that's it. And it no longer dominates you. It lies in the container, remotely from you. Or, to put it simply, we drive this problem into the depths of the subconsciousness, if we speak the language of psychologists. And this problem begins to destroy the human body from the inside, and it starts to manifest itself with cardiovascular diseases, various neuralgias, hormonal disorders, but allegedly, it doesn't come out entirely. I mean, in the form it was before. For example, let's look at a simple example, okay? Quite accidentally, you were standing in line behind a man to get an ice cream. You see, a big bald black man standing in front of you, who's being pushy and nervous. So you take your ice cream and accidentally drop it on his bald head. He turns around and it is Mike Tyson, pissed off as always. Yes, he is old, but excuse me, he's Mike Tyson. You wake up a couple of minutes later. Mike Tyson is already gone. The ice cream is gone, along with his bald head, while you are distressed. I mean, you weren't just slapped, but, for example, in front of your friends. That's it. So, this Mike Tyson will already be sort of a trigger in your life, because you were disgraced, you got a concussion, and there's a resentment that gnaws at you. You cannot sleep, you're nervous, and so on. So, you are advised to lock this Mike Tyson in a container, and he won't come to you again. Yes, you locked up the picture, you displaced it. But there's still a problem that you keep reliving, right? So, this silent stress, which they tried to eliminate in you, has remained. Meanwhile, negativity causes what? Let's put it simply, spasms, inner tension. I will go. Excuse me, so many years of medical experience have some impact. Various spasms arise, both of internal organs and of the vessels supplying them. Like, excuse me, muscle spasms and so forth. Hence, a lot of different diseases appear. But psychologically, you are calm. After all, Tyson is in the container, and he doesn't bother you. You know, in fact, such a method, I would say, is something similar to a perverse autogenic training, where you're not solving a problem, but trying to displace it, postpone it, and so forth. However, the very mechanism of impact remains, right? Just like this situation, which I like even better, the TV set method. It means that this moment, when you want an ice cream, when you drop it on a bald man, and when he turns out to be Tyson, you know, you live through this tragic comedy every time until you get used to it, until your nervous system stops reacting to it, until you calm down. You won't calm down. The problem is that when we replay this situation every time, too many various little details are added, and every time it keeps building up. Do you know why the little details are added?
Why?
What do you think?
Novelty, so that the picture would not be dull anymore.
Absolutely right.
So that it would activate you.
It's not interesting with Tatiana. She knows. But many people wouldn't answer. They would just say, our psyche draws additional details. Yet the whole point is, why does our psyche add little details? Suddenly, you see a completely different ice cream that was on the counter. Then you see that Tyson was, for example, wearing some interesting t-shirt, then with some text on it. And these little details will pop up in your consciousness every time you visualize them, with a slight emphasis on those details which you didn't notice before. In fact, they were not there. Your consciousness will draw them. And here we come to the key point. Why is that so? Why does the problem in the container remain? Well, the first and the simplest thing is that the person begins to look at this container as if with a different vision, like an X-ray, and to see that Tyson is even more pissed off there and is about to break out like Hulk. This creates even more fear. But at the same time, there is hope that the locks are strong enough and the container itself is reliable. At this point, there is a split. Spasms intensify even more. There's an even greater inhibition of your, well, let's put it simpler. What is the first thing that suffers when you are stressed? The hormonal system, friends. Why does it suffer? What do you think?
This very hormonal cocktail is released.
No.
There is a chemical reaction to an emotion.
Not because, no. Not because a chemical reaction is produced. Our hormonal system suffers after stress, first of all, due to a spasm of blood vessels supplying internal organs and also, let's say, of large vessels in the neck area. Again, it's all compressed in the area of abdominal aorta. Hence, blood circulation in the lower extremities is disturbed. We can talk about this for a long time, the very mechanism of development of this stress, plus an overstrain of muscles, causes irritation of sympathetic ganglia, to put it simply. So when a spasm occurs, we have involuntary tension and excessive irritation occurs, and this is what? It's a whole series of vegetative disorders. Tell me, does the fact that Tyson is there, I mean, in the container, make you feel better when you see him freaking out, when something tells you that he might break out, and you're forced to do what? To visit a psychologist every time. Yes, you come and honestly say, Tyson is securely locked up, and you are told he is securely locked up and he cannot reach you. However, he is still a threat, isn't it true?
One doesn't feel better if he's locked there,
no,
right?
One does feel better psychologically,
better,
but gets a lot of other diseases. Something depressing begins to appear. And a person feels that there is a systemic failure in the body. That instead of one problem, a massive other problems appear. He feels that. But after a conversation with a psychologist, he is relieved. Why?
Catharsis, as you've already told us.
Yes, a slight catharsis and hormonal addiction. Why does it make him feel better? Because after a conversation with a psychologist, those very notorious endogenous opiates are produced because the person experiences stress anew. And as a defense mechanism, certain hormones are produced which contribute to relaxing our spasms, our muscles. It's a temporary relief. And after a while, the situation becomes even worse. The same applies, let's say, to a psychologist who listens to such situations all day long, especially if he has a well-developed imagination. Whereas if he doesn't have this empathy, this developed imagination, he is not a psychologist. He does it mechanically. You know, artificial intelligence can be taught this too. Yet, why will artificial intelligence never replace a human? Because there is no inner power. Because, yes, there are words, there is intonation, there is a play, but there is no power, our human power. Right? So, what happens? A person, I mean, a psychologist, he gives his attention, he visualizes a problem for himself, he tries to live through it himself and figure it out. After all, it won't work any other way, friends. A normal psychologist, well, not normal, but a good one, let's say, first of all, he tries to get into the skin of a patient, as they say, to step into his shoes, to experience it all, and then, based on his own experience, look for positive moments or ways to solve the current situation. After all, there are positive aspects in everything, and the emphasis that is shifted to them often drives people out of this state as well. We haven't covered this topic here. We won't analyze it, but it's also an interesting method. However, like any interesting method, it also has a negative side. So why does it happen that a situation is seemingly resolved for people, yet their health gets worse and their psyche becomes unstable while Tyson is locked up? Or every time we work it all through, On the one hand, we feel better. I'm talking about techniques, like TV set, like imagination, or going back in time. They were called by different names. But the essence is the same. We relive the same moment, and we seemingly feel better. Whereas in fact, everything gets worse and worse. So friends, the whole point here is that we are much stupider than animals. Animals don't have secondary consciousness, while we do. They have memory. Believe me, animals do have memory. A lot of experiments have been conducted. However, animals don't have the function of secondary consciousness, while we have it. What does that mean? For example, you have a chihuahua living with you. Well, excuse me, it peed in your slippers. You took your slipper and slapped it on its butt. It squealed. Why? It hurts. Such a situation. What did it get? It got a skill. But in a minute, it fawns on you. It plays with you as if nothing has happened. But it knows one thing. It mustn't pee in your slipper. That's it. And it has no stress. It has no inner tension. Let's say an animal shows signs of pain or a problem as long as they take place. As soon as it is gone, the animal has no stress, whereas humans have it. And the most important point here is precisely that we have such a helper, which sometimes dominates us and lives our life instead of us. This is secondary consciousness that we sometimes completely associate ourselves with. While many people live their lives as secondary or primary consciousness, or often as both of them, but not as a human, not as personality. And that's where the biggest problem really is. Let's try to examine this situation from this perspective, okay? If we were like a chihuahua with poorly developed primary consciousness, what would we get after that? Besides a slight knockout or knockdown. Well, that is, we would...
A light pain.
Yes, it has gone. A little time has passed, and it has gone. We would have learned a very good lesson that we shouldn't drop our ice cream, shall we say, on the head of big bald men. Right? Right. We would be more careful next time, and that's it. That moment would become well established as a reflex. But at the same time, we wouldn't be stressed, sick, or worried anymore. Isn't it true? It is. As for secondary consciousness, the more attention we put into this situation, the more often it will come to us. And there is another paradox. The more we worry, the harder and more intensely we struggle with this problem, the more and more often it comes to us. That's why this method of visualizing a problem becomes so ineffective. It seems to be good initially, but very often the problem comes back, and we have to work through it many times. And like Tatiana said, the novelty effect. In other words, why every time during visualization is some little detail revealed, which a person doesn't pay attention to sometimes? That is, he is sort of describing to the same psychologist everything as it was. But if the psychologist is smart, he will always ask, what was new? What did you notice this time during the visualization? And the person will surely say, a t-shirt, or a torn collar, or a crooked inscription, or something else. I mean, something he hasn't seen before. And it all will be added every time. Eventually, it comes to a point where people are different and the situation is completely different. However, the person is convinced that this was the case. The question is, what is consciousness doing all this for? After all, there is a clear picture in it. And if you put a person into a certain state of hypnotic immersion, he will describe everything precisely. But when he recalls, consciousness draws him a novelty. And as Tatiana said, consciousness draws this novelty every time in order to excite our psyche or to emphasize something. And each time, this novelty is like reliving that moment again for us. We invest a lot of energy, a lot of attention. We are nervous. We have a hormonal surge and whatnot. This is very beneficial to our consciousness. And the whole answer is that the system is never satiated. And the demons in us are always hungry. Yes, we can call it whatever we want, consciousness, interagents, whatever you like, friends. Demons are demons. It's a generalized name that was given many, many years ago, let us say, even thousands of years ago. But it was exactly what we perceive as consciousness. And it's a fact that consciousness is not ours. We already discussed this more than once. And it is also a fact that a person has no power over his consciousness. And for it to become obedient, it has to be trained, taught, and so on for a long time. But if you, my friend, do not know that you are personality, if you do not know how to control your consciousness, it will manipulate you. It will create similar situations. It will prompt solutions to the same people like you. After all, that very psychologist or psychiatrist is just a human with his own demons in his head. And just like you, he is subject to their influence. And their influence is always aimed at us to feed them, so that we as personalities pay our attention to the problem they create for us, whereas they create problems for us all the time. Even if everything is fine for you, my friend, everything's just wonderful, and you are sitting on the seashore or somewhere on a mountaintop, admiring the landscape in an elevated mood, everything is splendid. As soon as you get distracted by anything neutral, immediately, some Tyson emerges from the container, or someone from your childhood, and starts a long and tedious conversation with you, or even a fictional character emerges whom you've never seen, but he starts discussing with you this very beauty that you have seen. I mean, it's all images. The system, or to put it simply, demons control you, my friends. Exactly, by means of these kinds of illusory images. After all, Tyson has actually left long ago, but his image continues to dominate, doesn't it? It keeps raging in your imaginary container. Do you remember Tatiana and I once talked about a chamomile and a bug, a ladybug, and then a beetle came to visit it? Well, those who watch our videos remember that. So, whether it is that chamomile with the bug or Tyson in the container, if you pay attention to this, if you fight it, you won't get away from it anywhere. And the more attention you invest, the more you worry about it, the more you will lose, so to say. This is really true. And here's a simple question. What should you do? You should live, my friends. Simply live. What was before is gone, and it doesn't exist. Well, I agree. There is another point, for instance. Let's analyze another point, that which concerns the present. And this is very important. For example, you drop an ice cream on the head of a big, bald, black man. He turns around, and you see that it is Tyson. His eyes become bloodshot. He goes out for a punch, and you quickly run away. He hasn't had time to catch up with you, but he remembers you well. You have embarrassed him among his friends, and then you vitally need to come to a party at your friend's house, for example. And to your horror, you find out that Tyson will definitely be at that party. Can you imagine the moment of your worries? After all, it's a threat in the present. If you don't come, you won't get or will lose your job and have nothing to live on, right? And that's where there is complete dependence. If you come there, you'll get a knockdown at the very least. And if you don't come, you'll remain without food. That's the problem of today. And it is absolutely logical that at this point, secondary consciousness should come into action and look for a way out of the current situation. Thus, it is not stress. It's a mechanism.
Search for a solution.
Yes, that has to function in order to protect at least your jaw. You see? Then all this is correct.
Igor Mikhailovich, and what should one do with accumulated emotions, as they say? For instance, some people recommend that you mustn't suppress emotions inside yourself. Go ahead and punch a pillow. Go to the gym and hit a punch bag. Well, those seem to be harmless methods, but how harmless are they in fact?
They are destructive. They give relief. Why do they give relief? Because, for example, your boss is an asshole. I will call things by their proper names. You come to work while there is such a scum there who belittles you, exploits you, and you depend on him. What should you do? Well, they say you should go to a gym. Imagine that on a punch bag there is
his image.
His image, right. Or even better, that it's not a punch bag, but your boss, and you start beating him up like Tyson was beating you when you dropped an ice cream on him, right? And that's it. You feel better. Why do you feel better? Because at this moment, all those hormones are released, which are released in reality. Now, friends, let's look at another situation. At one fine moment, when you are in a neutral state, your boss comes in and starts picking on you again, so to say. You get the same release of hormones, and you remain jobless, or even worse, you end up in jail. Did such situations happen? They did, friends, and many of them were exactly a consequence of this method. This didn't necessarily have anything to do with management. No. It often happened as a consequence of this kind of therapy, I would say. Violence escalated in the street, among acquaintances, or among friends. Why? Because a habit of solving problems with one fist develops. It all ends very sadly. For every Vijay, there is a Raja. Often, such a person who was already hormonally dependent and who practiced these methods of destruction, let's say, would either be beaten in return, sometimes fatally, or would himself cause severe consequences for which he had to pay in prison. There are many cases like that Plus, it has a destructive effect on the psyche of the person himself, and therefore on his entire body. Does it help? No, it doesn't. Meanwhile, it is quite appropriate to approach the situation consciously. This doesn't mean that when you come to work, if your boss is an asshole, you should imagine him as an asshole and so forth. No, friends. You should simply be a mature person. You should be free as personality. If you come to work and the boss is an asshole there, you should understand why he's been trolling you and what he wants. He wants a reaction from you. He wants you to be his slave after his death, when he becomes a subpersonality. Because when you come home, you bring him home. You worry. When you fall asleep, instead of enjoying, let's say, spiritual practice or prayer practice, instead of being in unity with the spiritual world, you cuddle with this asshole in your head at that. You are proving something to him, or he is proving something to you. At home, you are cool, while at work, you're nobody. Isn't that true? How many of such situations happen? Plenty. And this method doesn't function as well as it should. But it gives a temporary relief. You see, all the methods we have listed give a temporary relief. Now let's imagine you have a toothache deep down to a nerve. You come to a dentist, but he gives you a painkiller, and that's it. And he sends you home. Do you feel good? Of course you do. Your tooth doesn't ache. 4 or 6 hours later, the tooth aches again. You go back to the dentist. He takes the money and gives you another injection. Tell me, how long can you play like this? For a long time, until the tooth itself rots away, let's say, along with the nerve, and then the adjacent tooth will ache because an infection will occur. Well, you can play around for as long as you have teeth, and first and foremost, money. Do you understand what I mean? No, I am by no means saying here that psychologists or psychiatrists do the wrong thing for the sake of making money. No, they do it because there are such methods. Many of them really want to help, and a great many suffer very much because of that, to such an extent, sometimes, that later on, they themselves are forced to have their own psyche repaired by their own colleagues. Because after visualizing your problems, they become just like you. Such is the method of their work, so to say. And afterwards, understanding all this complexity, many of them begin to detach. They just listen without going into it, because they are already afraid to delve into your problem. And their quality as specialists sharply decreases. Just look, what a correlation, right? While in actual fact, the trouble is that the system is simply unable to satiate its hunger. It's an eternally hungry creature. Everything is very, very simple. Whereas when you, my friend, control your attention where you invest it and why you invest it, when as a mature personality, you understand perfectly well that even if you got a slap from Tyson, it has passed long ago. So next time you encounter him, you won't have any emotion towards him. You'll be more careful with ice cream. That's clear. But if you feel like slapping him, that's a trouble. It's a problem. Hence you have a disease in you, right? Well, any disease should be treated. Otherwise, it can turn into a severe illness, and that's already dangerous. You see how simple everything is. You should simply be human, my friends. So the questions are interesting, and the situations are interesting. I surely understand that we could have covered the topic much more broadly, let's say, getting to the heart of these problems. Every situation that we discussed today, or every method of therapy, requires a more expanded explanation, of course, but it is very long, very boring, and would be interesting to professionals only. While for general understanding, I hope we have answered more clearly. So I'll repeat, friends, all psychological problems are due to the hunger of the system itself. There is nothing else. All of our grave memories, all of our worries about the past, if they are not threatening us in the present or in our future, those are not problems. It's just that you feel the hunger of the system, which is trying, you know, simply to deceive you, to take your attention and make you destitute. So friends, thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Igor Mikhailovich.
Let's just love each other. Peace be with you.